In the beginning, with God, was God, creator, life giver, light shiner, enlightener. These are the marvelous ways that Jesus is described in the first few verses of John 1. And this is John's strong statement about the pre-existent Word, the Word that was before time. Jesus, who is eternal, who created all things. This is pre-manger Jesus. Yet this is also Jesus in the manger and beyond. And the magnitude of this passage strikes us as we recognize that the lowly babe of Christmas is none other than the eternal God. John begins his gospel by telling us about this pre-existent Word. We know from the text that this is Jesus. John uses language that would have been familiar to both Jew and Gentile in the day, but would strike their ears fresh as they would have heard something a bit different than what they'd ever heard before. He describes the Word not with adjectives, but rather with verbs. John 1 tells us what the Word has done. And the Word's an interesting way of considering Jesus. Words are usually attributed to persons, not recognized as a person. But Jesus is the Word. The Word that has always been. The Word that brought all things into being. And the Jewish reader of the Gospel would have naturally drawn the parallel to Genesis 1. Jesus is the Creator. He existed before creation. Even though he is born this day, he has always been. Colossians 1 tells us he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And you see, this is the great miracle of Christmas. It truly is a wonder that we celebrate the virgin birth of Jesus. But the virgin birth is the only way in which Jesus could come into the world as the Son of God. Miracle as it may be, being born of a virgin, the greater wonder of Christmas is who was born. The eternal God took on human flesh. No other religion is so personal as this. It's one thing to be able to speak about a distant God and say a few things about this God that's in the sky that we can't know and we can't see. But it's something else to talk about a God who comes before his creation and stands face to face. This is the perfect embodiment of truth. This is the perfect realization of all promise, of all speech about God. This is the Word made flesh. This is the incarnation of God himself. John continues his verbal descriptions of Jesus. Coming one. The one who comes into the world. The one who comes to his people. Adopter. Life enabler. The God who took on flesh. And we've arrived at the Advent. The great coming of the King, the arrival of the Messiah. We see the fulfillment of the prophet Isaiah's words. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Here, the mighty God has revealed himself as a babe. Jesus is Emmanuel. He is God with us. And I think meditation on this truth cuts right through our mundane holiday participation. It sort of pours water right on the fire of apathy that is just burning throughout our culture. Feel the weight of this truth. God has become a man. And as heavy as this truth is, all the more is the reality of who Jesus came to the earth for. He came for the world. And Don Carson, a scholar, has made mention of the significance of this objective, saying this: the world, or frequently this world, is not the universe, but rather it's the creative order. It's particularly talking about human things, human affairs, in rebellion of its maker. Therefore, when John tells us that God loves the world, far from being an endorsement of the world, it's really a testimony to the character of God. God's love is to be admired, not because the world is so big, but because the world is so bad. I'll say that again. God's love is to be admired, not because the world is so big with so many people and it's just so vast. God's love is actually to be admired because the world is so bad. You see, Jesus came to the world for sinners. Not for righteous, holy, law-abiding, blameless people. No, he actually came for the irreverent, self-centered sinners. He came for you, and he came for me. The Creator came to his creation. The Creator came for his creation. Specifically, the Creator came to his people. And what love! What grace! And surely he was welcomed warmly. He was praised and exalted and worshiped. And John tells us about this, right? He says the Creator was rejected. Creation did not know its creator. His people did not receive him. I imagine it's a bit like a mother who carries a baby for 9 months in her womb. Her body nurtures that baby, provides all that the baby needs, that food, that nourishment. The baby's growing healthy inside. She cares for her baby even as she cares for her own body, eating the right things, sleeping well, exercising. And as the birthday approaches, she starts longing for that baby. She wants to meet that baby, to know that baby, to have that intimate relationship with that baby. And as the baby's born, the baby looks at its mother and it just rejects her. It doesn't even recognize her. It just says, "I want nothing to do with you. I don't want to see you. I don't want to touch you. I know that you have everything that I need, but I don't want you." They've shared a close relationship all the way through, from conception through development. But the baby will not feed at bottle or breast. The baby will not be coddled. He will not be cared for. He would rather be left on his own, even though it means imminent death. And is this really any different than Jesus coming in the world? Because if we think about it, it's strange to say Jesus would be like the mother in this story. But Jesus is sort of like that mother longing to know that child. And we really are a bit like that stubborn, self-centered, self-focused, rebellious little child. See, Jesus created the world, and he has sustained the world by the power of his hand. He's cared for it from the very beginning. And as he comes into the world and greets his creation face to face, the world just says, "I have no idea who you are. And in fact, I don't care to know. I'd rather just be left on my own. I know you have everything that I need. Or maybe I don't know that you have everything I need. But the reality is he does. And we would just rather not have what he has. We would rather have it our own way, even though it means imminent death. And that's the great twist of this passage that John is saying. The Creator has come to the creation, and the creation has rejected its Creator. How is it that the beloved rejects her lover? How is it that creation rejects its Creator? How is it that the people reject their God? I don't know. I've tried to estimate what this could be. I mean, is it the reality that it just doesn't make sense to us? It doesn't make sense that God would become a man, and it doesn't make sense that God would actually suffer on the behalf of his creation. It just seems crazy. I mean, no one, no Jew, nor Greek, nor anyone else would ever expect that God would become something less than God. He would become taking on a human form, something that he has created. But God has done that. God has come to earth. The Creator has become like the creation. He has become a man. And is it too much to think that the Creator would die for this creation, even at the hand of the created? It's almost laughable. That's a crazy story. But you see, the gospel, the good news of who Jesus is and what Jesus has done, as crazy as it seems, is the only thing that makes sense for us. This crazy, outlandish truth is what makes the gospel so glorious. Because you see, Jesus came into the world to do for us what we could not do on our own. In order to reconcile human beings to God, Jesus himself became a human being. The book of Titus, it's a letter that Paul wrote, tells us this. When the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us not because of righteous things that we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. You see, the Christmas message is a word of hope. And it is so because the word of hope came into the world. For those who trust in Jesus, who believe in his name, he is given the right to become children of God. Jesus has revealed the glory of God the Father, and he's done this by showing the world God in the flesh. And he's demonstrated in himself to be full of grace and truth. He has given us grace upon grace. In other words, Jesus has given us grace that goes beyond the law. No longer are we bound by the law and enslaved to our own sin. No longer. No longer are we fighting a battle that we cannot win. No longer. We look to Jesus and we trust in him because the Christian life is about dependence. We trust in Jesus to do what we cannot do on our own. He is the perfect revelation of God, and because he is God in the flesh, he has come to live the life we cannot live, in perfect obedience to God, and to die the death that we deserve, to take away our sin and our shame. So John says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So, O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant, O come ye to Bethlehem. come and behold Him, the one who has been born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. God of God, light of light, lo, He abhors not the virgin's womb, very God, begotten, but not created. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. Sing, choirs of angels. Sing in exultation. Sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. Yea, Lord, we greet Thee, born this happy morning. Jesus, to Thee be all glory given. Word of the Father, now in flesh appearing. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. Let's pray. How grateful we are, Father, for sending us Your Son. Thank You that Jesus humbled Himself and took on the form of man, that He lived a perfect life, and He was humble enough to suffer at the hands of sinful people for their sins. Thank You that in Him we have hope. I pray that this Christmas we would look to Him with thankfulness, with trust and dependence, recognizing that He has done the thing that we cannot do. He has lived the life we could not live, and now He has paid the penalty that we deserve. May we be grateful for Jesus this Christmas season. Thank You for sending Him, and thank You for making us Your children through Him. We praise You in the name of Jesus. Amen.